anyway, that night he called. I've told that story many times. God said yes when I was screaming no. But anyway, here we are today, and I'm glad to be here. And it is exciting to be a part of this church and to know that we're celebrating 20 years. And I only wish we'd have been here for the full 20. But God called us here in Easter of 2004, and it's been a blessing ever since. So congratulations, and thank you for helping me to thrive. Amen. I was thinking before I get into my message, since we're celebrating 20 years, we need to at least have one story that took place during this time. And if you don't know my story, I was never water baptized. I did go up one day at my vacation Bible school when they had a call to give your life to the Lord that day. And I went simply because everybody in my row got up and went. And I was left there by myself. So I thought, you know, I need to go up there and blend in with the crowd because everybody's looking at me. So I did that. But it really never took hold. You know, she took us to church, but it never really felt like home or anything. You know, it felt like you were there to please the other people, you know. So anyway, fast forward, me and Betty were living in Weatherford, and I'm driving the Schwann's truck. And if you've never drove a Schwann's truck, I recommend you try it one time. It's quite an experience. But anyway, it was a good experience. I met a lot of great people. I had routes in Weatherford, in Thomas, and in Hydro. And during that time, you'd go into places, and there was a lot of the older people that, well, they would witness. They would start talking. They didn't want to talk about Schwann's food. They want to talk about Jesus. You know, and at first it kind of irritated me. You know, I got to go. You know, I've got a route to run, and I don't want to be getting home at midnight. So, but over time, that softened, and we began to talk. And anyway, I met a guy one time. He was a preacher for a Mennonite church at Hydro, and we hit it off really well. Anyway, it wasn't long after that that I quit Schwann's and I opened my saddle shop back up in Weatherford. And he started coming by once a week, and we'd talk. And I got to the point where I told Betty, I said, I think we need to go to church there and listen to him. But about that time, he packed up. He got a call and moved his ministry to Oregon. So that didn't happen. And rocked on a little bit. I know Betty, she was seeking someplace to go. And praying, and I noticed her reading her Bible a lot more often and stuff, and we got to hearing some stories about this church at Leedy, Mark and Jada, and they were pretty wild stories. I was like, this can't be right, but then I get to thinking, I remember, I believe it was Clark and Jada who would do the Archie and Edith impressions. Wasn't that you? I think that was you. And I got to remembering there was a time where we used to help Ronnie work his cattle, and him and Dad were good friends, and just being around Mark and knowing some of the stuff they pulled, I'm thinking, you know, there may be something to that. Maybe we ought to go check it out. So we did. We decided to on Easter 2004 we come, and none of the things we heard that about happened that day. It's kind of disappointing. but Mark's messages that he was really started ministering to me and helping me, and I knew this was a place we needed to be, and Betty knew that too. And but a little farther into the year, on September 11th, we were coming back from a trip, and we stopped at the big cross on the interstate out of Groom, Texas. You know, and it was just one of those moments where I knew it was time you know. It was time. So we come to church the next day, September 12th, 2014, or 2004. And I gave my life to Christ. Then the following Sunday, we followed it up with the little heated little pool there in the church. Got dunked. And then the following week, we went to the men's retreat in Buena Vista, Colorado. And that Friday night at that service, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that never forget. And they told me on this trip, I know there was Mark and Clark and Mark Quattlebaum, and there was one other with us, and I cannot remember who it was. I'm thinking it was Micah, but I'm not sure, but I think it was Micah. Anyway, bring your golf clubs. I didn't have any golf clubs. I never golfed before in my life. So anyway, my brother, he happened to have an old wore-out set, and he tried to hack with every now and then. So I borrowed them, and that Saturday, we were up there after the morning service. We go golfing in Buena Vista, Colorado, and I didn't kill nobody. Come close a time or two, but I learned real fast why you yell four when you hit a bad shot. Because I yelled it a lot that day. Anyway, we had a good time, and we get to the last hole. Do you remember the last hole on that golf course? Do you, Clark? It was in a grove of trees. You had trees on both sides of us, and you shot it down through this way. And then when you got down there, then you was shooting it back this way. And you couldn't see the hole from where we were at. So we all shot, and it comes to Pastor Mark's turn. Clark remembers. And Pastor Mark gets up there, and he says, I think I can drive it over them. So him and Clark discussed it for a little bit. And in them trees sitting back in there was a house. So he lines it up, he tees it off, hits a tree, bangs it off the house. You don't remember that. But I knew right then, I said, yep, this is the place for me. So we planted roots and we moved back to Leedy, and just truly blessed to be a part of this church with Pastor Mark and Jada and everybody in here today and everybody who's watching. We were made to thrive. You know, before Mark even asked me to give the message on during this, God had begun to speak to me kind of through music. I'd go down to my shop in the mornings and I'd turn on YouTube and put on Christian music and listen to it. And he got to kind of speaking this message through me through various songs. So you're going to hear some of those references today to some of them songs. But we were made to thrive. Amen. God wants us to thrive in whatever our situation, whatever the circumstance, whatever we're going through, no matter what. We were made to thrive through it. Amen. John chapter 16, verses 31 through 33 say, And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And John 1, 1 John 5, 4 says, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Here's a question that I think God is asking. Are my people going to be of good cheer? No matter the circumstances, again, no matter whatever you're going through, are you going to be of good cheer? We need to be of good cheer because the victory has already been won. Jesus has overcome everything that we will ever go through. We already have victory in whatever the situation is. We have victory because of our faith. And what better topic to discuss overcoming and thriving than 2020? It's a year from hell. Amen. I think everybody would agree with me that it is from the depths of hell, the year 2020. That if we can just get to 2021, things will be better. But what if they don't? I think before 2021 gets better, we have to overcome 2020. And we've got to learn to thrive in the situation that we're in right now. What if the year 2020 is from God? Have you thought about that? A lot of people I've heard and read, you know, this is a year from the devil. But what if it's from God? What if God said, I'm going to make the year 2020 for my people who know my name? And I believe he did. I believe that God did make the year 2020 for the people who know his name. And I believe the answer is in the scriptures we read above in John 6:33 and 1 John 5:4. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, Jesus has already overcome everything we will ever face. Jesus overcame 2020 2,020 years ago. So here's another question. Are you going to be a thriver and an overcomer? Are you going to succeed and prosper in the year 2020? And there's four things I want to look at today. We'll call them the four F's of 2020. There's fear, forgiveness, freedom, and the Father. And I think if we can overcome the first two, then we can thrive under the last two. And the first one I want to look at today is fear. Fear is a great neutralizer. Fear can and will stop us in our tracks. Fear leads us to worry, and worry leads us to sickness. I read an article one time about our immune system, and the doctor who wrote it said, two of the leading causes of a weakened immune system is fear and worry. I told you that God was speaking to me through some songs on this message, and one of them he spoke to me was a song by Zach Williams. And the title is Fear is a Liar. And a little bit of it goes like this, and I won't sing it. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest and steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. Fear will try to tell you that everything God says about you is a lie. Joshua 1:9, it's my favorite, it's my scripture. It's a scripture that God spoke to me one day not long after I was baptized, after we got back from our men's retreat that year in 2004. And God has to remind me of that a lot. You know, fear is a liar. And Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Now this is God had already spoken this to Joshua many times. But this time he had to remind him that he has commanded him. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Yeah, I was reading this morning, and maybe I can tell this, I don't know. But the last day, I was with my dad. We were all gathered in the hospital room that evening, and sitting there, and Dad, he couldn't talk, but he kept looking off up at, and he was trying to point, and my mom always thought that he was just intrigued with Jason. Because if you know my son Jason's this tall, and I'm this tall, and my dad was this tall. We kind of looked like the bars on the telephone, you know. But I believe what my dad was looking at that night was the doors of heaven were opening. Showing him that he was welcome and everything would be okay. And I kind of got that revelation when we had Joe Zane was in here the other day, and he talked about what he went through, and he's been by my shop, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, and we talk about it, and we spent 2 hours one day talking about it, and he shared a whole lot more with me than what he did here. And I won't share all of it, but I will tell you this. He told me, he said, he had his encounter with God. And he told me this. He said, you will not miss one thing on this earth. You will not miss one thing on this earth. So don't fear. Psalm 56, 3-4 tells us, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Nothing. And Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What is there to fear but fear itself? So cast your fears in the fire. Amen. The second thing is forgiveness. And I believe that if we want to thrive, if we want to overcome any obstacle in our way, then we need to learn to forgive. And forgiveness is hard, especially when we've been wronged. But if we want to thrive, we must be full of forgiveness. And I believe that even more than fear, unforgiveness is the number one reason that many people simply don't thrive. And the number one person we need to forgive is ourselves. As believers, I think it's easier to forgive someone else than it is to forgive ourselves. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. If God has cast our transgressions in the space of the end of the east to the end of the west, which we know there is never no ending, why can't we learn to forgive ourselves too? If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 1 Peter 5:6 through 7 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Forgive yourself. There's no need to, once you've come to the throne of God and you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to hold on to past transgressions. Jesus has cleansed us from them. He has set us free. Old things have passed away. Behold, you have become new. Amen. Goes on to say, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And Colossians 1:21 through 22 says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What are these things? They're what we just read. He cares for you. Old things have passed away. You have become a new creation. You've been reconciled. You've been presented holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Bay and I counseled with a guy one time, and he had a real hard time seeing that. And I don't know why, but, well, I do. God wanted it spoken. But he spoke through me that day to him, and he told me, God, when God looks at us, he's not looking directly at you, Ronnie. He's looking at you through Jesus. It was the blood of Jesus that cleansed us. Jesus is our filter. God looks through Jesus. He doesn't see anything that was old. He only sees you from Jesus to the present and the future. Jesus is our filter. So we need to learn to forgive ourselves. Have you heard the song Holy Water by We the Kingdom? This one verse in there says this, your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. I love honey. Betty can attest to that. I'll eat two or three tablespoons of honey a day, at least. Just go in there and dip her down in there, and man, honey's good. It is sweet, 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 sweet on my lips. Forgiveness is like the symphony to my ears, and it's like holy water on my skin. And there's another song by David Crowder, Forgiven. Forgiven You love me even when I don't deserve it. Forgiven. I'm forgiven. Jesus, your blood makes me innocent. So I will say goodbye to every sin. I am forgiven. Say goodbye to every sin. Forgive yourself. Jesus did. You do deserve it. You do deserve God's love. It says so right there because Jesus' blood makes us innocent. I'm thinking right now I should have made this titled Music to Thrive. The third thing we want to look at, and if we overcome these first two, fear and unforgiveness, then we can truly walk in freedom. Do you want freedom? Then you need to cast your fears in the fire and forgive yourself. Galatians 5:1 says, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Do not go back and dwell on the things of your past. Move forward. Live in freedom. James 1:25 tells us, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. And 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty, there's freedom. Another song reference. Have you ever heard the song Happy Dance by Mercy Me? I start every morning with Happy Dance. But one of the verses in there says, we are so consumed with what we think we're supposed to be that we stop living like we know that we are free. We need to live and we need to know that we have been set free by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was thinking this morning as I was reading this, and when I got to right here, I don't know why, but I thought of this little story. And it has nothing to do with, maybe a little bit to do with fear, so maybe I should have told it after the fear story. But we were in the middle of building a church, and Otis was up here one night taping the drywall, and I come up here to try to help him, and we were back there in the hall on the lift. He took the lift all the way up. I don't know if you remember this night, Otis, but we got up there. Otis told me, he said, now don't lean out over this thing. I'm like, okay. So we're up there and we're taping. We go 15 or 20 minutes and we move down a little ways and sitting there, and he didn't move it quite far enough, and I didn't think I was really leaning. I just, you know. But all of a sudden I felt like something moved, and I was like, and I turn around and look, and Otis is over there and he's like, don't do that, he said. But we overcome fear that night, didn't we? Oh, just another little funny thing that happens throughout the years. And the last thing is the Father. We need to know the love of the Father, amen? Romans 8, verses 12 through 17 says this. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You were meant to do more than just survive. You were meant to thrive. Amen. You are an heir of God, the Father. It's a Father who loves us. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Act like it. And in my notes, I put 3 exclamation marks right there for me. If you need them, you can use them too. But we need to act like we are heirs of Christ. You were not meant to struggle to make it through the week, the day, the next hour. You were not meant for your world to feel like a wait for the break of dawn. You were not meant for your world to feel like a wait. For the break of dawn to be the starter pistol for another meaningless rat race. You were not meant to be shackled by anxiety, worry, unforgiveness, and fear. You were meant for so much more. You were meant to have a life and to have it more abundantly. That is a promise of the eternal God, of our eternal Father. You were meant to dig deep and to reach out. You were meant to know God and to make him known. You were meant to point to the one hope, the one anchor, the one true source of joy, peace, and contentment for the entire human race. And his name is Jesus. Surviving is for those who have no hope. That's not you. Not if you're God's child. You were meant to thrive. I'm not saying you won't have trouble in this life. Out of Jesus' 12 disciples, only one of them escaped martyrdom. And he was exiled to an island, a desolate island. Without exception, all of us will have some bad days. But Jesus tells us to take heart. He has overcome the world, which means that we can thrive amid it all. We were not made to survive life or to survive work or school or your family. You were not made to exist until you can get over the next hump or to the next break. You were created for one purpose, to know God and to make him known. You are not living the life you were created to live if survive is your word. You were made to thrive. You were made to thrive and not just survive. And I'm almost done. 5 more scriptures here, and I didn't give these to Keaton. But Revelation 2:11 says to us, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And I skipped one here, Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Amen. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Revelation 22:26 says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We will get to eat from the tree of life. We will not be hurt by the second death. We get a new name. Anybody ready for a new name? Amen. Gallant Warrior. How about that name? Power. We will have power over the nations. And our name written in the book of life. There's more. There's so much more, but you get the picture. This is what I'm striving for, and this is what I want all of us to strive for and to thrive in. How about you? God wants us to thrive, not just walk along, beaten down, downtrodden. We're the light of this world, amen? And this is a year that we need to show that light. There's a lot of people that are struggling right now, and they need the church to stand up. We don't need to be like the world. We need to be above the world. We need to thrive. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just love you and praise you and thank you for this day and for this opportunity to speak your word. I pray, Lord, that this word is, that honored you and blessed you in Jesus' name. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, I want you to know how simple it is to believe, to find forgiveness, to cast out the fear. And we can find it in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Proclaim Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. And if you did that today, we praise you and welcome you into the family of God. Father, we just, again, we love you and praise you and thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this church and for the 20 years that you have given us here. And Lord, we just look forward to the next 20. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless the work being done here, that you would bless and show great favor to Pastor Mark and Jada for their obedience and loyalty to you and to us. And we just want to lift them up to you today in the name of Jesus. And honor them and thank them, Lord, for helping us to strive and to thrive in Jesus' name. And I pray this over Mark and Jada and the church. It comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless amen. You and thank you.
Give Dusty a big hand clap. That was a great word. And look at somebody and say, you are made to thrive. And you're made to overcome. That was a great word, Dusty. I want Dusty and Betty to go back to the back. You're going to be Pastor Mark and Jada today and greet everybody. Dusty, that was an awesome word. I've seen Dusty. We've been through the good, the bad, and the ugly together. And I love when he was talking about his dad. I was there and saw his dad see the other side. That was just an awesome moment. And his mom called Dusty. His mom and dad are in heaven today, and I know they're rejoicing over this, but I'm going to tell off this little story on Dusty. His mom, Jacqueline, called him the golden boy, and so he's known in his family as the golden boy. And I'm going to tell you why, because Dusty, I've seen Dusty through with his parents, family, even church-related things. Dusty always wants to do what's right before God. And God honors that. And I've seen Dusty walk through things, and God has really blessed him and Betty. So give him another big hand clap this morning. All right, I want to, Dusty's already blessed us, so you're dismissed, guys. Love you guys. We'll see you at Harvest Time 2020 next Sunday.